Let's go to John, if you would, chapter 6. And we're going to pick up in verse 26. And we're going to read a few verses here. And I'm going to try to move a little bit quickly through part of this. Jesus begins preaching right here. Okay. You know how I know he's preaching? Because he's got those double verilies in there. You know. Listen, look, amen, you know, anytime you see those, he's starting to preach, and that's what Jesus is, and by the way, he's preaching to the crowd here. The crowd had come across, they had been part of the 5,000 that had been fed there, and then they were out on the boat, and you know, Jesus calmed the sea, and there they were, and then the rest of them figured out, well, how'd he get over there? Because they didn't see him get in the boat. So, you know, now Jesus is over on the other side, so they get in the boats too, and here they go hightailing it after him. And here we are in verse 26, and Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him," and that's really important right there, if you're a highlighter, highlight him there, "hath God the Father sealed." Okay? Him, who's him? His son right there. It says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Who is God the Father sealed? His Son. What is that seal? That seal right there, in the Greek, it's spargizo. Spargizo. And it means a stamp or an insignia. So what the Father has done, what Jesus is telling them that the Father has done here, is that he has put his stamp of approval on his precious beloved Son to come and do the work and have the authority to execute the work that God has sent him here to do. Are you with me here tonight? Okay? That's what he's done. He's put his stamp of approval on Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, right there. And that's what Jesus keeps telling them. You know, if you will read through all this discourse here, you will see that he keeps saying, you know, "I am here to do the work of the Father that sent me. I'm here to do the work of the Father that sent me." And they come across there, and they were following him, but they weren't following him for the right reasons. We talked about this the last time. They were following him because he was the one that could fill their bellies. Okay? He was the one that could heal their sick. He's got to be that prophet over in Deuteronomy that Moses talked about. He's got to be that one because he said he's likened unto Moses. He could do the miracles and things like that. He's likened unto Moses, and Moses is telling us to hearken or to listen to him. Okay? And he says, here he is, he's out there, and he gets over to the other side right there. And in verse 26, he tells him, say, you come, you follow me, because you did eat the loaves. In other words, you got your belly full. You know, testimonies are wonderful. I'm telling you what, they're the spirit leader in a church. Amen? And they're necessary because, you know, they're out there. If you have a testimony, and God gives it to you, or a song, a testimony can come in a song. Amen? Praise God. And when they come that way, I'll guarantee you God has placed somebody in that congregation or in that hearing audience that, listen, that they needed to hear that. Amen. And it's the same thing with the preached word, that God places people in a place. He draws people with an outward drawing to be in a place where they can hear the Word of God. How does faith come? By hearing, right? It has to be. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Or called, brother. Right? Or called. When God calls a man to preach, let me tell you something. He can preach. God will equip him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not so sure that you can train up a feller to preach. That's just me. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with school, but I just don't know about training up a fellow to preach. If God wants somebody to preach, He's going to call them to preach. Praise God. And I thank God we got called men to preach here. Praise the Lord. And I said men. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Nothing against the women in this congregation. I love y'all. But I'm going to tell you, God called men to preach. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get on with it. Praise the Lord. And listen, He put His stamp of approval on that. And what I'm getting at is that there is an outward call. There is an outward call to where you get to a point or a place to where you can hear the Word of God. And I believe it goes out to everyone. Whosoever. Whosoever. I'm getting ahead of myself already here. That call, look at verse 44. Skip on down there. Let's let the Lord lead this. Skip on down to verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at that last day. Now, four different times in this gospel right here, Jesus speaks of raising him up in the last, I said last day. Okay? That's what it says. My Bible, your Bible say last day? It says last day. All right? We're going to leave that right there where it's at. But I want you to understand something, that no man could come unto Jesus except my Father that have sent me draw him. What does that word draw mean? Call?
Pull near.
Huh?
Pull near.
Is it just a gentle tug? Be surprised. I thought it was too. Let me get to it. Told you, I got ahead of myself. The believing process starts with a draw. Now, draw. That word, helkuo. Helkuo. H-E-L-K-U-O. That's what it means. Okay? I mean, that is, when you look it up, if you've got one of those concordances, and I would highly suggest if you're studying, have you one of those. That's what it means. It means helkuo, and it means to drag or to pull. To drag. Man, my bubble got bursted right there. Because I always thought it was the tug. It was the gentle pulling power of God. But it means, you put drag in that same verse right there, and what does it say? No man could come unto me except my Father which has sent me drag him.
Yeah.
Now, who mentioned dragging them here? Dragging them to church. Somebody did. Maybe it's you, Jason. I don't know. It won't do no good, right? I can't drag them, but God can.
Amen.
God can drag them. Okay? Brother Terry, you mentioned something there earlier. You know, it brought you in. How do you think you ended up here? How did it take place? I'd never seen you in church before. Okay?
I hadn't been in church for 40-some years on a regular basis.
40-some years?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we drug here or dragged here or drew here.
Uh-huh.
But we decided we were going to come. And when we walked in that morning, we were overwhelmed, and we come back that evening. We've been here ever since.
Yeah. Over 4 years ago, right? You don't know the reason, don't know the...
No.
A little church down here just sprung up. No. Boom, here you are.
I can tell you one thing. Luck didn't have no part to play in it.
Huh?
Luck didn't have no part.
Amen. No. Amen. I agree with you. No. I agree with you. That draw.
I believe we were brought here for a purpose.
Okay. And that drawing power of God.
Yeah,
amen. God had a plan. God had a purpose.
Had a plan for
for Brother Terry and Sister Joy. Amen. How about you? I'm going to tell you mine. I woke up one Sunday morning. My wife had been going to church quite often. I woke up one Sunday morning for, I don't know why, but I had a desire to go to church. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I didn't have that desire before. But why that Sunday morning? Why that Sunday morning? Because God, I'll tell you why, because God knew exactly what this old boy needed to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I didn't know when I went there, let me tell you something, I almost backed out. When I pulled into the parking lot, I came very close to backing out. It got on my mind, I said, I know them people in there. who say, goodness? You know, I was one of those. I was one of those thought, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm better than about half of them people sitting in there. Huh? Am I the only one? I know I'm not the only one. I know that. You know how I know that? Because God has showed it to me. Praise God. Let me tell you something. I didn't want to go, but there was a draw there. There was a desire in my heart. Listen, I hadn't heard no sermons the night before. I never heard no songs the night before. I never heard nobody testify. But I woke up that morning with a draw to come into God's house. That's an outward draw. That's an outward draw. But see, there's an inward draw. I got there and I heard the word. I heard, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You've heard me say that time and time again. Listen, I don't know. I don't know how that took place, but that's the words I remember. Those are the two pieces of scriptures, the Word of God, that, listen, started the drawing power from the inside then. I had an outward draw to come into the house and hear the Word. But then I had an inward draw to make a change in my life. And I should have made it that very single day, because God was calling me. God was drawing me. God was pulling me. God was dragging me right then. But you know what? I was standing tough. I was just like in a tug of war. But I want you to understand something, church, that listen, God will draw you, and God's power supersedes anybody else's power. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil's on the other side of that rope with you, and he's pulling you the other way. Amen. He is pulling you the opposite direction, because listen, he does not want to see anybody come to God. But no man could come unto Jesus except my Father draw him, drag him, bring him to a place and a point in his life to where he realizes that he needs a Savior. That, listen, that his goodness and all of the good things that he might do in his community or his state or whatever position that he might have or whatever finances he might have or anything else is not going to save his soul. It's going to take the blood of Christ being applied to their life. And he says to them in there to come. Look on down here what he says. Look, I'm going to go to verse 40, and then I'm going to skip right back there. And this is the will of him that sent me. There's the will of the Father again. He keeps telling them that over and over and over. You think they'll get it, right? Well, they're no different than we are. We're hard-headed, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I was hard-headed. I held on to Thursday. There's some people hold on for years.
Amen.
Amen. There's some people who hold on for weeks and years. And people were here last Sunday that was just, I mean, you probably find their knuckle prints in the pew back there. You know, God was drawing them then. That's that inward draw. Let me tell you something. No man's ever going to be saved unless God draws him. I do the work of preaching. He does the work of preaching. They listen, the preached word goes out, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and then it develops into something called believing. Believing. Not with your understanding, but your eyes of understanding, your eyes of faith are opened. You're open to where you realize that you are lost and undone and that you are a sinner bound for hell. Oh, they don't want to preach hell anymore, do they? See, that's the problem with I was talking to my mom today with my family, is that they never, listen, the people they listen to never say that word. They never mention the blood. They never mention the cross. Let me tell you something, goodness will not get you into heaven. It will not get you into heaven. Jesus Christ is the only good one, Brother Don, right? He is the only good one. My goodness is as filthy rags. My righteousness, my standing with God is as filthy rags. And it's only my belief, only my trust that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ will ever get me from this point in life to that point in life up there. That's it. That's the only thing. It's Him and Him alone. And it says there, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and that seeth through the eyes of faith, and believeth on Him, may have what? Everlasting life. And I'll do something. I will raise him up on the last, L-A-S-T, day. Praise the Lord. Amen. The drawing power of God. This scripture here that we're in is called the Bread of Life passages, or the Bread of Life discourse. And Jesus keeps telling them over and over, I am that bread. I am that bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am. I am. Mm-hmm. Who is the I am? You see, he's telling them something they ought to recognize, brother. Yeah. They should have recognized that. Because over in Exodus right there, that's exactly what God told Moses. Tell them that I am sent you. I am. They should have recognized that. But he goes, you see that, I am the bread of life. There's seven I am statements here in this New Testament. And we're going to, this is the first one that we've come across. But he says, I am the bread of life. But let's move ahead just a little bit. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Here we go again. That we might work the works of God. Church works is never going to save anybody. I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. I work because I love God. Amen. I tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ because I love Him. Amen. And I love Him because He first loved me, and God sent His Son to die in my place, in Danny's place, in your place, and in the place of all of those that are out there. Let's look here what he says. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. And they said, therefore, I believe we're kind of getting smart alecky with him right here. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, you just fed 5,000 on one day, you know. Day before this, Jesus had just fed 5,000. And I believe that's what they're saying to him. Well, you fed 5,000 one day. Moses fed the multitude, the millions out there for 40 years. And what does Jesus say to him? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, here he comes again with it. I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You want to read about that bread? I'm not going to take time to. Well, yeah, I am too. Let's just go over there. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. You know, Jesus is telling this for a reason. He tells them that he is the bread of life. I am that bread. He goes on later on to tell them that. But Exodus 16, this bread is something they should have been able to connect to. And the Lord gave unto Moses, saying, verse 11, 16, 11. And the Lord gave unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh in the morning, and ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew had lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Manna. What is it?
Unleavened bread.
Unleavened bread. But that's exactly what manna means. What is it? It means, that's what it means. I couldn't believe it. What is it? They didn't know what it was. You read over in Psalm 78. I'm not going to take time to go over there. Psalm 78 says, it's like a honey wafer. It's like what they call those honey things, those honey graham crackers, whatever. What I say, that's the first thing that came to my mind was one of them honey graham crackers. You know? Man, I love them things. They're good. You can eat a whole box of them, amen? But
they're good.
Yeah, you know, just like Lay's potato chips, you just can't get enough. You know, you like them, don't you? I can tell. Praise the Lord. I got one too. Praise the Lord. But that's manna. What is it? And here they are with Jesus, and Jesus says, I am that bread of life. And he's getting the same response. Who is it? Who is it? It's Jesus. I'm the bread. I'm the bread that's sent down from heaven. Yeah, listen, God sent that bread down to you. Moses was the instrument that God used, but God sent that manna down to you. That little wafer, that unleavened bread, I believe it was a lot healthier for you back then too, by the way. Huh? You can read what's on the bread now. You really don't know how good that is for you. But back then, I believe it was one of the staples. It's one of the life-giving things that they had to have. How about that bread? How's it come about? You got a seed, put it in the ground, pops up, wheat. It's got a stalk, right? And it's got blades on the stalk, kind of like corn, a little bit. If you read Psalm 78, it's what it describes it as, like corn. And then it's got this head, right? And then in that head is what?
Seed.
The seed. And how do you get the bread? You got to, glory to God, you got to crush the seed. You see, this is the promised seed that God sent. Jesus Christ is the promised seed. And you got to crush that seed. And what happened to Jesus? He had to die. He had to take our place. He was beat. He was bruised. He was spit upon. Whipped with a cat of nine tails. And they hung him on an old rugged cross. And he died for our sins. And let me tell you something. He is the propitiation for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Period. Nothing. Nothing we can do. No goodness we can do. No good deed that we can do that we can earn our way into heaven. It took that seed. And they should have recognized that. They should have recognized that because he was preaching unto them exactly about that bread. I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture. And let's just go. Let's just move ahead. Verse 32, and Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Who is that true bread?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. Amen. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. There it is again. And giveth life unto the world. See, they couldn't get past the physical part. And a lot of people, whenever they come, and I'm going to tell you, it's really hard sometimes because a lot of people are trying to put their understanding, their mind, their understanding, their logic on this whole thing about Jesus. And they don't get it. You know why they don't get it? Because their eyes of understanding, their eyes of faith have not been opened up yet. Their heart, it's not been revealed unto them yet that Jesus Christ is the only way that, listen, that we can get from this life to heaven, this life to God. It's the only way. He fixed it that way. It was His plan and it was His purpose. He planned it from the beginning. And He fixed it that way. And listen, what He says right here, let's move down real quickly. For the bread of God, He that cometh down from heaven giveth life unto the world. And they saith to Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. There they are again. Just like the woman at the well. Oh yeah, give me some of that water. I don't want to come here and draw water anymore. I don't want to get thirsty anymore. Give me that water. Same thing here. Give me that bread. I don't want to have to worry about ever getting hungry again. They were thinking of their physical self. Amen? They haven't labeled it yet a spiritual awakening. They hadn't figured that out yet. And Jesus keeps trying to preach to them, verily, verily, truly, I'm trying to tell you here what this bread of life is. And Jesus said to them, there again, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. We see it every Sunday. We see it every Sunday, Brother Garrett, I believe that their eyes of understanding is open. I believe they got the draw to come, the outward draw to come into the church. I believe the inward draw of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit moves upon them, opens their eyes of understanding, their eyes of faith, and they've got it. And then there they are, and they're just like these. They believe not. They get up. In other words, they reject. They reject what God's got for them. And the pull. Let me tell you something. The pull of the devil is just like you done hooked a horse team to them and pulled them out that door whenever they reject. And it's harder and harder for them to come back every time. Harder and harder for somebody to come back every time. But you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. So what we do is encourage them to come and to hear the word. And listen, I don't know what it'll take for people to be drawn, you know. There's an outward draw. It might be your testimony. It might be your witness. And I've heard those tonight. But you know what? Whatever it is, if they get to where they hear the Word of God, then there's an opportunity that God will start that pulling power and that drawing power and get them to the point where they say, I'm going to come. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to give it to Him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to one more place. I'm not done, but I'm going to go to one more place. And I'm going to finish up. Let's go to Romans, if you would, chapter 10. We've quoted some of these verses already, but I want to get them to you. But we're going to start the next time a little bit. We got along farther than I thought we would. Romans 10 and verse 9. Yes, just start in verse 9. We quote this scripture all the time, and it's a very important part on the person that is lost, the person that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. It's a very important part. They think, well, you know, I don't have to do nothing. I can sit at home and I can be a good person and I can go to heaven. It don't work that way. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. You see, God poured His wrath out on His Son. And He says right here, it said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And one of my favorite verses in all the Scripture, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And next week, we're going to get into that all. We're going to get into that whosoever. And I hope you come back, because it's good. God showed me here that you know, it's not for just a select few. Did He not cover everybody there? He said, for the Jew first and then to the Gentile, right? It's available to all. Whenever Christ came, being the bread of life, listen, I'm sure that crowd was mostly Jews. Mostly they were Jews of His race there. And listen, He took the gospel to them, right? And they received Him not. So guess what? God has made it available to all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So He made salvation available to all. And some people will like you to think that it's only for a select few. That's rotten doctrine, as I said Sunday.
Amen.
That's rotten doctrine. And I'm going to show you. Praise God. I hope you come back next time that we're up here. Okay?